Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready to take a bite out of the competition? Are you looking for ideas to make your business better? Welcome to the Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet.
Sponsored by Apple Capital Group.
At the core of every successful business, you'll find people making a difference. And with each episode of the Core Business Show, we talk with those people, examine those ideas, and explore the strategies that make them special. Now, the host of the Core Business Show, Tim Jacquet.
Well, good morning again. Welcome to another episode of the Core Business Show. I'm Tim Jacquet, your host. Today I have the pleasure of having Rebel Brown. She is a market strategist. She has a recent book called Defy Gravity. And please call in. Our number is 347-324-3460, 347-324-3460, or you can post your question in the chat room, and then I can read the question on the air, or you can go ahead and Twitter, #ApplesCapital. Rebel, thank you for joining the program today.
It's my pleasure, Tim.
I guess to begin with, kind of tell us about yourself and how you got started.
Well, you know, I got started, oh my gosh, I came out of grad school and wanted to be an advertising for lipstick. How's that? I wanted to be an ad exec in one of the Madison Avenue ad agencies for, you know, women's goods. And I got out of grad school and there were no jobs. So I went, I talked to some advisors, and a guy that I had interned for in grad school sent me to a headhunter who looked at me and said, well, do you know anything about, you know, you need to get into the consumer side and the marketing, you know, the vendor side versus the agency first. And if I were you, I wouldn't go into lipstick. I'd go into something more that's up and coming, like maybe do you like computers? Well, it turned out my college advisor's wife was head of Burroughs for a whole segment of the United States, and Burroughs was a computer company way back when. So the next thing I know, I'm selling computers for Burroughs. And I started out in the computer business, and I loved it, and it just kind of happened, Tim. You know, I love technology. I'm a geek. And I started into the business, and I sold mainframes against IBM for the first 8 years of my, you know, business childhood, and then decided that was a little too hard to do, so I went into marketing. I went into and started selling other things, and then one of the companies I was working for, I sold more business than anybody had ever sold in 6 months, and they said, well, how did you do that? And I said, well, I did market segmentation and blah, blah, blah. The next thing I know, I'm running their marketing. And then the next thing I know, I started my business in 1989 as a consultant, and I haven't looked back.
Wow.
Yeah,
1989.
I have been consulting since 1989.
Wow.
Which tells you I'm one of those people that really, and you know what, it was funny, Tim. When I was inside the businesses, I was the person that was a problem child because I asked the questions they didn't want asked. And when I changed my business card to a consulting card, I became brilliant overnight. Which tells you something about perspective now, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
And how we shift our perspectives. So that's kind of how I got started. I started out, I've done a lot of work with early stage startup companies and helping people get into business and then grow their businesses. I've helped a lot of turnaround companies where they've crashed and hit the wall, and I've helped them restart, regen, find a new way to grow. I ran a business in Paris for 2 years, bringing European companies to the U.S. and helping them with their strategies. So, you know, I've kind of done a little bit of everything.
Well, you know, let's talk about that. Let's talk about the startup. What you normally would advise a startup to do?
Startups. You know, one of the things that startups have unique challenges versus companies that are already in business, and we all know that, but you know, a company that's in business and has a track record of success has customers and has evidence of what they can do. A startup doesn't, right? I mean, when you're first in business, how do you prove what you can do? So, you know, one of the things that startups tend to do a lot is look at other people like them and try to repeat a pattern. And that's not the best thing for a startup, for an early stage company to do, because if you're looking at another company and using them as the pattern for what you want to be, then you're not leading, you're following. And you're not creating anything. You're not necessarily unique, because you can't be, because you're following somebody else. So one of the things I recommend with startups is, you know, when you're starting a business, I think the number one important thing you have to do is get really, really focused on what you do well, what your value is, and focus it at a market that is really compelled to buy that value because of a problem they have. And that means getting really narrow and really focused. And that's exactly the opposite of what a lot of businesses do. They go out and they go, "Oh, I'm going to throw everything out there and see where I can get business because I've got to get traction somewhere," right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's
mm-hmm.
the kiss of death in this market, because there's too much noise in our economy and in our markets today for you to go out and try to be a jack of all trades or fit into lots of different opportunities. What you want to do is understand what value you offer to a customer that they are willing to pay for, and who those customers are that are willing to buy, and start with a very, very tight focus. Get your traction, get your success, and then you can expand where you're focusing. But trying to be all things to all people is a real mistake in this market.
Wow, so the one-shop business is not the way to go.
I think our market shifted so much, Tim. If you think about it, 10 years ago, even 5 years ago, we were the controllers of the information for our buyers, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because they came to us to learn about our products, to learn about our stuff. So we had a lot more control of what we could tell them and say to them, right? Today, our buyers can go out and look for a product, look for a solution, find out what they want, create their perspectives and their opinions without ever talking to us, because that's the power of the Internet, right? I can go out and research anybody, find out what other people think about them, other clients, other, you know, everything, and that word of mouth drives my brand and my perception, which means if you're trying to be all things to all people, you're not going to get as strong of a response in the market, and the perceptions are going to be more varied, and you can't control that. If you're getting really focused on a market where you know you can succeed, where you can drive really high value, and no matter how niched it is, and you get 10 customers that love you, now you have a straight line of what's out there in the market, because it's not what you say. Buyers don't care. It's not about you anymore. It's about them. And so trying to go too broad gives you, you know, there's too many opportunities for you to do something that may not be as good, maybe not as, you're not as successful in certain markets, and that buzz gets out there to your future prospective buyers.
Wow.
And you can't control that anymore. Think about it. You can't control what people say about you on the web and in communities and in chat rooms and in social media, et cetera,
mm-hmm.
or in opinions. So the narrower you focus and the more clear you are on your value to market profile matching, the more
mm-hmm.
successful you'll be to start out. And then you can expand from there, because you build a foundation in the market of excellence in the perceptions of your buyers.
Wow. So the age of the conglomerate is no more. You know, that's what we were, you know, at the turn of the last century until the breakup of the 90s, the 80s, the takeovers. It was big. It was like CBS. You did everything. You, from your TV, your radio, your newspaper, your record business, your music publisher, your billboards, you name it. And now the shift has focused, you know, even GE. Now, we're going to focus on this one particular thing, and that's what we're going to do. And we might just do something maybe similar to that, but we're not going to go actually spread ourselves thin anymore.
Right. For a long time, the idea was to go wide and thin, right? And now I think the idea is to go narrow and deep. And if you think about it, you know, and by the way, I'll tell you about my mistake, right? So I go write the book called Defy Gravity, which is really a summary of my 20-something years consulting, right? It's the lessons I've learned that are really about helping people think different, because gravity is applying yesterday's beliefs and approaches to tomorrow's markets. And it doesn't work,
mm-hmm.
because the way we've always done it is the reason for the mess we're in, because the world changed, and if we don't change, we're in trouble, right? So I write this book, and I hire a publicist who convinces me that instead of staying in my core market, which is really B2B and technology companies where I've played for 20-something years, that I should go broad. So I did. And I really messed everything up, because even though the book is written for everybody, and you know, we did a really, you know, my publisher's really proud of the fact that we wrote the book so that it's immediately accessible for anybody. I didn't want to write something that was just for geeks, right? So a small business owner can get something, they get value out of it. And as a matter of fact, a lot of value out of it. It won a Small Business Book Award for 2010. But
wow,
that didn't mean my marketing needed to go focus on small businesses where I had no awareness, no brand, and no perceptions in the market. Right? So here I am out trying to sell to a market a book that they've never heard of me. They don't know who I am. There's nobody talking about me in that space. And I hit a wall. Whereas if I, you know, I went back and restarted and focused into where I had a reputation, where I had a brand, where I had strength, and all of a sudden everything took off when I went back and got that narrow focus. So I made the same mistake I'm telling other people not to make, and I've been doing this 20 years, and I still fell into it because what happened was I hired a publicist who had done it all the time, and he had a way he'd always done it, and I believed him as the expert, right? And I got sucked into the same kind of gravity my clients and other people get sucked into, which was believing that the way he'd done it was the right way for me because it wasn't.
Well, so how did you correct it? Get back on course.
I just refocused back into my own market. I refocused back. What I basically did is I went, okay, we have to stop the thinking of I'm going after that broad market. Let's go back to what I know. Let's go back to the market I know. I mean, I had to redo so much of my material because I had focused it on smaller businesses. And even though the book plays there, that doesn't mean they knew me. I refocused everything. I went back after the market that knows me, and I just started marketing to them. And now, you know, I think I have 5 speeches coming up in the next 2 weeks that are all into tech, into B2B complex businesses, all into audiences that are exactly where I have always played because they know me and I have a reputation of quality there.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, so it's really hard. And my point is it's really hard to build a perception on a broad base. Think about it. When you walk into a room of 100 people, you can't talk to them all at once about the same thing. You can find 2 or 3 you have commonalities with and build a rapport and engage. That's no different than our audiences and our clients today and our buyers.
Mm.
It's about engagement and, you know, everything has shifted. It's no longer mass marketing. It's about engaging specifically with audiences who are compelled to spend dollars on your value.
Wow. It's amazing. What do you see where we're going to be in 5 years? I mean, I just got off the phone with Story Branding with Jim, and he, you know, he was talking about he's an old advertising executive, and he wrote a book, Story Branding, and he was going through his scenario. And just think of, like, I say, well, hey, Jim, now you got television, radio, newspaper, magazine. Those are traditional mediums, but that's not what we are today. He said, absolutely, you're right. We're going to a new territory, like you just mentioned, that nobody can really have control of anything. Someone can attack you, and you have to run interference. It's like everything is transparent. It's not like you can hide behind something and
no,
go
you can't
from there.
Hide behind your brand
no.
and your and you know your big
at
bad
all.
Brand and at all because the truth is out there now.
Yeah, and they can attack you. They can do a lot of things. So you almost have to stay on top of your game and almost have to run your business reputation 24 hours a day because to head off any issues that come up across the world. So it's a 24-hour market. It's some good ways and some bad ways. What do you see the challenges for some startups today?
Well, you know, I think one of the biggest challenges for every business in this market is the fact that we all have this knee-jerk reaction to talk about ourselves. And I call it me, chest thumping. But we have this idea, and I think it's just ingrained as gravity belief, that the thing we need to do is tell a customer about our great stuff. You know, me. Here's what I do. Here's my cool stuff. Here's why you should buy from me, blah, 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 right? Me. And that has, you know, 5 years ago, that had an impact because we had the control of the information. Today, all that does is turn buyers off because they don't want to hear what you think. They don't care what vendors say anymore because so many businesses, you know, let's face it, a lot of people overpromised and underdelivered, right? Well, now you have a buyer in a position where they can actually, you know, they don't need to hear what you think about your stuff. I think the number one thing I tell people is forget pushing your own products and let your customers sell for you, right? So instead of talking about, oh, here's my really cool stuff, and here's what you should, why you should buy it, and here's all the cool bells and whistles and features or whatever, right? Instead of doing that, what you want to focus with is, here's the success a customer had, here's how it benefited them and their business, and here's what they say. So, because that way your buyers don't hear from you, they see customers and other buyers that look like themselves. And they see them solving problems that look like the problems they have in their business. That's a natural way to get people to come in and look at what you do. Because you're not just thumping your own chest. You're sharing what your customers have done to make themselves successful. That's the way to get value in the market and to get people to move in and start to have conversations and engage with you. Think about it. If you walk into, and this is really simple, if you walk in to buy a refrigerator, right, are you going to listen to what the guy selling the refrigerator and what Whirlpool, GE, and all those guys put on their flyers? Or are you going to go talk to your friends about their refrigerators?
Touch your friends. To your look friends, online.
Right?
See what the cop.
You're going to go online. You're going to go look at consumer reports. You're going to do all that. Now, if that sales guy, instead of pushing, oh, well, you'll love this feature, blah, 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 says, you know what? What size do you need? What kind of, how much food, blah, blah, blah. Oh, you know what? I had a customer in the other day, and here's what they bought, and here's what they were. There was response. You have a lot more chance of listening to that than you do the spiel, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's no different. Why would our buyers in business be any different than that? Think about yourself and what you respond to, because remember, we're humans in business, not business people. We buy for human reasons. We look at vendors and have it make perceptions based on our human behaviors and our human opinions and our human emotions, not based on logic. So if you put yourself in your buyer's position, if you're sitting there telling them all the great stuff about you and thumping your chest, what kind of an impression does that make as versus you sharing stories about what other people have done, sharing your expertise, educating you about what you could do? Which one are you going to pay attention to?
Wow.
Right? It's that simple. And yet what do we all do? We go, me, 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 me. It's human nature. And that's a piece of gravity. That's a gravity belief that we've all learned, right? Because gravity comes from humans. We learn, we create beliefs, those beliefs become knowns, and all of a sudden what you're doing is you're doing things the way you've always done it because that's the way we've always done it. And the market shifts and your perceptions don't as a vendor. That's why we've always got to go back and ask the questions. What do my customers think? Where are my customers with this? Is this about my customers and my buyers, or is this about me? And if it's about yourself, stop it and go back and think about what would attract you as a buyer.
Well, what do you do when you have, sometimes consumers don't know what they want, just kind of be the devil's advocate on this. How do you handle that particular situation? Because sometimes, let's take a car dealer. I'm trying to sell a car, you always go with the feature and the benefit. And you need to do both. But however, the person that come in for the Tahoe really needs to not get a Tahoe if they don't realize that it's costing $100 a week in gas if you're going to be commuting. Versus, hey, you might want to get a smaller SUV, or you might want to get a car if you have long distance driver. You know, if you work. Your job is 20 miles away, and you need to commute 40 miles a day, that may not be the best option. What do you do in that particular situation when the consumer don't know what he wants?
I think you give you share your – here's my belief. And, there's a lot of people – that are, quite frankly, I think, Tim, greedy. And greed gets you in trouble because greed is gravity, right? Look around us, right? Look at how we got in this mess, which was greed, right? People get greedy and they go, oh, but I want to sell them the bigger ticket item, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why would you do that when you know it's the wrong thing for the customer and they're going to be, they're going to have a negative experience once they have the item you sold them, and that negative experience is also going to shadow over on their feelings about you? So I'm a really big believer that what you do, if you really want to set yourself up in a position where you're engaging and creating relationships with a client or a buyer, you use your expertise to educate the customer, to show them the options, to paint them a picture that's big, that's a much more exacting picture than they could create on their own because they don't have your experience. and mm-hmm. help them, guide them to the right choices. Because when you do that, you create trust. And people come back and buy again and again from people they trust, where they know they're going to be able to have the right product and not just something that some guy sold them. And
wow.
if you think about it, that's not how we've traditionally done business. Not all of us. Some of us have, some of us haven't. But if you look out there today, the companies that are successful and growing are the companies that are doing just that. They're not focused on their bottom line and what can I push down your throat. They're focused on how do I build long-term relationships with customers so they come back again and again and again. And they do mm-hmm. that by providing their expertise, by guiding, by educating, and sharing facts and experience, not pushing their products. If you do that, the client will buy. They'll buy, and they'll come back to you again and again because they trust you. And think about your own behaviors, right? When you go in to buy, mm-hmm. You go in to buy a car. If the guy's pushing the biggest model on you, and that's all he's trying to do is upsell you, do you trust him? No. If mm-hmm. the guy is going, you know what? Let me give you some options. Let's talk about what your needs are. Blah blah blah. Do you trust him? Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to do that more and more in our businesses. So if customers don't exactly know what they want, guide them based on focus on what's best for your customer, not what's best for you, and you will grow your business.
Wow. What do you tell a business that's struggling?
I do a lot of struggling businesses. The first thing I do with struggling businesses is I have them – this goes back to gravity. I have them go back and say, okay, so what are the things you know to be true, right? What are the things that mm-hmm. you're not willing to give up because you absolutely know it's true? And what are the things you really don't want to do because you know you can't change, right? Those mm-hmm. emotional pushes against and holding on to are sure signs of gravity thinking. They're sure signs. So and I catch this in myself, if I have something that I'm just not going to change, no way, no how, I'm digging in like a donkey, there's gravity thinking around it 99% of the time. I'm stuck
wow.
in a pattern that I don't want to release, and that pattern is most likely limiting my ability to see where I need to go tomorrow. So the first thing I have people do is ask themselves, what do you know? What do you absolutely know? What do you absolutely know will work? What do you know won't work? Now, why do you believe? Now, start asking yourself questions. Make that list first, and then mm-hmm. say, why do I believe that? Have I tested that? Have I talked to my customers about that? When's the last time I looked at that to see if it was true? Are there other options? Just start asking questions. I'll give you an example. Here's a really great example. So a CEO friend of mine, is running a nonprofit in the oil and gas industry. They're basically like a chamber of commerce for the oil and gas industry in Pennsylvania, right? Now imagine being a nonprofit in this market and trying to go out to the big businesses in your area and get them to donate to you so that you can support small businesses that are starting up. Would you like to be running that business today? No.
Wow.
Right? So he's losing things everywhere. So what he did, he went through the gravity principles and went through my principles of flight, did the exercises, and he called me and he said, you're not going to believe what I realized. Well, he starts writing down, I am a nonprofit. I have executives with 20 years plus of experience. I am focused on helping businesses transform and grow, and those are the things I know I am. And then he went back and started asking himself, why do I believe this? And he got to the nonprofit piece, and all of a sudden it hit him. Why do I have to be a nonprofit funded by donations? Why can't I be a nonprofit funded by my own revenues? And he took his execs with 20 years of experience, and instead of going out to the big companies and offering, saying, gee, can you give me a handout? He went out and said, mm-hmm. why don't you hire my executives as consultants to help you, and the revenue we gain, you will get a service for the revenue. The revenue we gain, we will use to fund the nonprofit. So he's the
wow.
country's first self-funded nonprofit. Think about mm-hmm. that shift. Simple shift. I'm a nonprofit, and I'm funded by donations. That was a given, right? He knew that to be true. Well, who says mm-hmm. it has to be true? Who said that had to be true? He's now a nonprofit self-funded by his own services and his execs out there working with clients. And everybody's a lot happier.
Absolutely.
Right? So those, we get these ideas of how we have to do business, how we have to think, how we have to operate. and they get stuck in our heads, and we don't look at new opportunities and new ways of going and being. And that's why anytime you push against something, anytime you hang on to anything for dear life, stop, ask yourself the questions. Why am I holding on? Why do I believe this? What are the other options? What are the other ways I could look at this? What are alternatives? And when you ask those questions, you'll find them, and you'll find yourself stuck in a repetitive pattern that is no longer driving your business to a profitable end. In fact, if you hang on to gravity too long, it'll send you crashing and burning.
Wow. When you dealt with your the other business from Paris to relocate here, strategy is totally different because now they're in a different market from where they are. I don't know how well they what did they do in the last market, but what do they do in this particular incident? You know, coming from one country to another.
Well, you know what? It's interesting because I commuted from California to Paris every other week for 2 years. How's that for a stupid thing to be doing?
Oh, wow.
Oh, man. I thought it'd get easier, and it didn't. It got harder. But, you know, it's interesting because different countries have the same kind of gravity. You know, French have amazing technologists. I mean, they school and they teach. You know, they bring them up from the kids up once they're tested to be technology or engineering or savvy. They go into a whole different system. So they create this amazing technology. They have 20-year-old, they had 20-year-old beliefs about their markets. So here they are with leading-edge technology and with lagging beliefs about their markets. And about how I can remember standing in front of a bunch of French VCs in probably, I'm going to say 1999, telling them that the internet was going to take over and everything was going to be driven by the web, and they told me I was out of my mind. Right? Oh, no, no one will ever do that, right? It was really amazing to work with them because what was interesting is once we showed them, you know, once I showed them some of the options, some of the different ways of thinking and the differences in business, they got it.
Mm-hmm.
They just needed to have somebody ask the questions. And that's one of the things, you know, I tell clients of mine, get somebody from outside your arena, outside your industry, that doesn't know your business, to ask you questions because they'll ask you things that you wouldn't ask yourself because they don't know not to ask it, which is kind of what happened with me. You know, I go into Paris and I don't know the French market, and they start telling me all these things, and I start asking questions. And all of a sudden they start questioning themselves and going, gee, maybe that isn't right. And so it was really amazing experience for me because we got to blend what I knew from the U.S. with what they knew, and I watched them all expand what they knew and how they were going to do businesses, how they were going to do business, because they learned. And that's the whole thing. We have to constantly keep, you know, as humans, we learn from everything that happens.
Mm-hmm.
But then all of a sudden, you know, it's like we get all these knowns, and I call them legends, business legends, personal legends, whatever. And the legends start making the decisions for us, even if it's not relevant in what's in the situation today, because it's what we've learned. And we get stuck. So the key is to keep asking the questions, rethinking what you know, applying it to your current market situation, not the one from a year ago, and that's how you keep evolving your thinking to keep pace with your markets.
Wow. If you have a second, I'm not sure if you can read maybe like the foreword out of your book. We can take like a probably 40-second break with commercial. And kind of give us, if you don't mind, just give us like the foreword of the book, and then kind of give them the heart of the book, and then any particular thing that you want to leave us with about the book. So it's going to take a break, and we'll be back again with Rebel Brown, Defying Gravity.
You're listening to The Core Business Show, sponsored by Apple Capital Group. Apple Capital Group in Jacksonville, Florida is a commercial lender that specializes in asset-based loans, equipment leasing and financing, invoice financing, commercial real estate loans, and asset-based financing in the U.S. and Canada. Apple Capital Group is a direct lender that lends on their private equity investment portfolio. 90% of most loans are decided within 2 hours, and vendor funding within 24 hours after documents are completed with a one-page application. No slow no's, just a quick decision and a fast yes. To get more information about lending from Apple Capital Group, call 866-611-7457. That's 866-611-7457 to speak with one of our loan specialists. Or visit us right now at applecapitalgroup.com. Welcome back to The Core. Once again, here's Tim Jacquin.
Again, I'm with Rebel Brown, the best-selling market strategist, Defy Gravity. So I guess, kind of tell us what the, read the forward if you can.
The forward of the book is either you're growing your business or you're losing market share. There's no middle ground in today's markets. Ask yourself this. Is the amazing value you offered 6 months ago less compelling today? Is your best-selling product bringing in less profitable revenue? Are your customers changing faster than you can keep up? How do you know if the way you've always done it is causing you to have business gravity? Defy Gravity is the savvy leader's guide to cutting through status quo business behaviors and beliefs with strategies that drive high-velocity growth. How's that?
Great. Perfect. So how can you ditch your own gravity?
You know, I think the way you ditch your own gravity is you find out the status quo, the thinking that you have, and that's by paying attention to what you push against, what you hold on to that you can't change. It's by going out and looking at markets that have nothing to do with you, industries, and looking at what they do and seeing, getting new ideas and fresh perspectives. It's by constantly getting fresh perspectives from others to shift your own thinking so that you don't get stuck in, well, this is the way I've always done it. That's how you find your gravity. And then once you find that those status quo beliefs, then it's a question of just going, okay, what's a better option? And get out with your customers. You know, we spend way too much time talking to each other as business people, and we all sit in our little rooms, whether we've got three people working for us or 1,000 or 10,000. We sit in rooms and we talk about what we think. Forget what we think. Nobody cares. Go talk to your audiences and find out what they think, because you know what? Value is in the eye of the beholder, and the only beholder that matters is the one with the bucks, and that would not be you. That would be your buyers. So get in their heads and find out what they believe to be true and leverage that and forget worrying about what you think is true, because it doesn't matter anymore. It's all about them.
Anything else you want to go ahead and leave us with? What one piece of advice do you have for a business leader today?
You know, I have a couple. One is focus.
Okay.
One is focus, and it's focus on your markets, but it's also forget, you know, we have this old paradigm of we have information and we push it out to our client, our buyers, right, or our audiences.
Mm-hmm.
Forget that. Reverse it. Use social media and all of the tools available to you to create relationships, to listen, to get to know your buyers and what they want, and forget trying to tell them all about you. Learn about them, educate them, share expertise with them, build relationships with them, and you will grow your business.
Wow. I have a couple of questions here. How can you know who to listen to in your business?
I think, you know what, I think that's one of the tricks around social media. You know, so many people are out looking at social media and listening to the masses, and you don't even know if the masses are the buyers for your product, right?
Absolutely.
Think what you have to do is you have to, yeah, and, you know, I see so many people, you know, oh, well, a million, you know, I've got a million people on following me and 500,000 say this, so I'm going to do it. Well, you don't even know if any of those 500,000 are going to ever buy your product or not, right? So I think what you have to do is you have to really get to know what you need to know where your sweet spot is in the market with your buyers. And the fastest way to do that is look at who you've already sold to. Now, for a new business, it's who can get the best value from what I'm delivering and how do I create that value in the most compelling way, right? And then you stay focused on those profiles and your audiences. And I think a lot of it, don't get distracted, you know. So many of us have gotten into this popularity thing with social media. Oh, I have a million followers. Well, you know what? If you have a million followers and only one of them is a buyer for your product, how good is that? Right? Popularity does not equate to profitability. So really get focused and have some stay disciplined. And by the way, I do this with myself all the time, you know, because I'm a cat with shiny objects. Somebody sends me something and they're not in my market and they want me to do something with them. And I'm like, oh, sure, I'll talk. Well, you know what? That's not my audience. So you've got to discipline yourself to find out who needs your products, who is compelled to buy them because you solve a problem for them, where's your sweet spot, and then find those people and listen to them and don't listen to everybody else. It's that simple. Listen to your buyers. learn from other markets and other people and other perspectives, because, you know, you never know when somebody who doesn't know anything about your business is going to say something that's brilliant that you can apply to your business. But when it comes to customers, focus on your demographics and your markets and who you know you can compellingly sell to and make successful customers, and forget the rest of the noise. I'd rather have 100 customers following me who are in my sweet spot than a million following me with none of them doing me any good, because that million's wasting my time.
Absolutely.
Right? And that's a discipline thing in business, Tim. I really think that's a discipline thing. And we all have the problem because, you know, we all, especially with social media, you know, you want to be popular, you want to have everybody out there, blah, blah, blah. If you have 100, if you have millions of people or tens of thousands following you and talking to you and not one of them can buy from you, what are you doing? Unless it's for friendship, what are you doing? And by the way, I got that one too, because the same person who told me to go broad, you know, and wide, got me on social media, on Facebook and Twitter, and I built up all these big audiences. And then one day I took a look and I realized very few people in my audiences would ever be a client of mine for consulting. So, you know what? What am I doing? Well, the answer is I made a lot of friends and I made a lot of contacts, and that's good too. But that I no longer look at those mediums as where I'm going to touch my audience or where I'm going to be able to communicate to my clients, because that's not where they play.
Mm-hmm.
So get real and look at it truthfully about where you're focusing and where you're putting your time. And just because somebody wants to talk to you or learn more about you, if they're not in your sweet spot, you have to have some discipline and say, I'm focusing on my markets. I'm focusing on where I know I can do good.
Okay. The last question before we talk about how to get your book, how you market yourself. And we're going through your Who's Rebel, and you have a lot of things. I'm not sure you wrote articles or you syndicate them out for see some things from investors, some entrepreneur, business insiders, Yahoo Finance. How do you market yourself?
Yeah, I market myself with my content. You know, I use LinkedIn because there's a lot of professionals there and a lot of targets there. I do speaking. Probably the best marketing I do is I do a lot of speaking, and I work with a lot of groups. So I go out and I have a number of different signature speeches that I do depending on the audience. And I really get out and I talk to people. I do workshops with groups. I do my whole speaking thing is a workshop from the platform. So that's probably the best. That and actually going back and working my own network from all of my years are the ways that I get the most of my business.
Wow.
Because I built a client network that was satisfied clients over 20 years. So I go back to them and, you know, and occasionally touch in on them, and they send me business. I don't do a lot of marketing because I've been in business so long, I have a lot of referral business.
Well, that's great. Anything else you want to leave us with? Besides, where to get your book.
You know what? Just this market. Everybody is, I think a lot of us are stuck in this deer in the headlights, oh my God, the market contracted. You know what? The market is coming back. It's coming back slowly, but it's coming back. And we created so much gravity in that constriction because we're all kind of like, you know, I asked somebody the other day, is stable your new definition of business success? And a lot of people feel that way, right? Wow, I'm stable. I survived. Well, you know what? It's time to start thriving and growing. And the only way you're going to do that is to shift out of the constricted mode and into the where are my new opportunities? Where do I go? I can grow. There's more opportunities than out there than ever. Let's go find them. And we've all got to be careful about that right now because we're all deer in the headlights going, how am I ever going to get business, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Wow. Absolutely. How can we find your book? Is it available on Amazon?
It's on Amazon. It's on. It's pretty much everywhere. It's on Amazon. There's a Kindle and a hard copy edition. You can buy it off my website, which is rebelbrown.com. If you go to rebelbrown.com, you'll see Defy Gravity, and you drop down, and there's Buy the Book, and it'll link you to all the places where you can buy it.
Great. I really appreciate you coming on to the program. And again, you can get your book on Amazon, and it's readily available everywhere. And what's your website address again?
It's www.rebelbrown.com.
R-E-B-E-L-B-R-O-W-N.
Yeah, B-R-O-W-N.com.
Great. Thank you. I really appreciate you coming onto the program.
Thanks so much, Tim. And if you ever have any questions or if anybody wants to contact me, there's also a contact button on the site. And I'm always happy to brainstorm with people and give them a little bit of free consulting advice if they want to call me. It's my
pleasure. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Thanks much.
Have a great day.
Okay.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
This has been another production of The Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet. Thank you for listening to the program. And if you want to get a copy of it, you can download it on iTunes or Blog Talk Radio or on our blog site at blog.applecapitalgroup. Thank you for listening to the program, and have a great day.
Thank you for listening to The Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet. For a free quote on equipment leasing and financing, visit our website, applecapitalgroup.com. That's applecapitalgroup.com. And fill out the information to receive your free quote. We hope you'll join us for our next episode. And remember, you can always get to the core via iTunes. You'll find all our previous episodes there. Thanks again for listening to The Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet.